This is Radio Influence.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is my podcast that I get to get things off my chest. Been waiting to talk about it all week. I have another podcast in the trenches where we talk about a lot of Buccaneer football and some college football, some NFL football as well. Because of Irma, the Buccaneers will not be playing this week, and they rescheduled to November 19th, which would have been their bye week. And listen, I hear people complaining about, you know, they don't get a week off. I never liked the bye week anyways. Now, that being said, there's no worse bye week than the first week, because when you're finished with training camp, you're ready to go, and they got to sit around another week, so that's going to be tough for those guys. But they're going to be playing the Dolphins November 19th, and so they're going to be playing 16 weeks in a row. I'm going to miss them this week, but you got to take care of things, because Irma is as hectic as I've ever seen Tampa Bay. I mean, it's hectic. You know, I've been here since 1990, and there's been a couple scares here and there. I don't really remember a lot of scares before, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And before that, I just don't remember worrying about a storm. And now, I don't know, because there's other storms were supposed to hit Tampa Bay, and they never do. And I do hear rumors, and I really believe in this. The Native Indians parked here in Tampa Bay because they believe this was a tough place for a storm to hit. I believe the Indians. They know Mother Nature personally. So I'm hanging out here in Tampa Bay. I'm not going anywhere, hoping that, you know, this is not our time. From what it looks like, I guess Irma is heading east. And from the great Dave Osterberg, he says it's better to be west. So we're going to be west of the storm. And you know, when you look at Dave Osterberg and Paul Delgado and all those Lee Spann, it's like this is their time. It's like they get weather boners, you know, when it's a storm's coming here. They love it. They're on 24/7, and they love it. You can tell they're just excited because now they get to use all the stuff that they learned in school and school us. Because other than that, they're just really pointing at a map a lot and saying 75, 95, and really stuff you can get on your phone. So Irma, like I said, it's crazy. Like I said to my wife on Tuesday, you better go get some water. Cause I think it's, you know, people are going to go crazy. So she went on Tuesday to get water, no water, none. And I've never seen it to where you couldn't get water anywhere. And I've never seen it to where there's no gas in any gas stations. I've not seen that before. And I've run into a situation. I drive a lovely car, drive a Jaguar, and for some reason, Jaguar put the gas cap on the passenger side, which is not usually a problem unless there's big lineups at the gas tank. Think about that. Everybody else's is on the left, and mine's on the right. So if you're in a line, you can't go up and put the gas thing over your car, or you can't turn around either. So I went into two different gas stations, not being able to figure out how to get some damn gas. And then I thought to myself, we got other cars in my house. Where the hell am I going to go anyways? Where am I going to go? What do I need gas for? If you think you're leaving now to go anywhere, good luck. Because there are people stranding their cars all up I-4, all up I-75. They're towing them. It is a mess. I was supposed to go to this apparel show in Orlando tomorrow. Hell no. You know, I'm hearing rumors of it's taking, you know, 2 hours to go 10 miles. So I don't have a whole day to get to Orlando. That's one of the worst drives anyways. So, you know, everybody now, you can't get sandbags, you can't get gas, you can't get water. And listen, I know people they trip out, okay, and they're going to board up their house and they're going to put sandbags up in front of your house. How many people do you know that sandbags actually saved them? Okay, because it would have to be just a little bit of water hit your house for a sandbag to really help you out. Because I got some news for you. You know what you're not going to stop? Water. Water is going to get in your house, period. And you can board up your windows all you want. If 185 miles an hour hits your window, that ain't going to stop it. It's just not. So I think everybody's overprotective now because of what happened in Houston. From what I hear, Walmart was donating a bunch of stuff to the people in Houston. That was only just last week. And now all of a sudden we need it. So that's why Walmart and a lot of these other places, you know, ran out of goods real, real fast. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, call Irma a pussy or anything like that, because I saw some of the footage, and Irma's tearing some shit up. I mean, tearing it up. They say 90% of the structures in Barbuda are either damaged or destroyed. 90%. So that's a damn mess. And, you know, all the shysters are going to come out when, you know, it's time of despair. That's just the way it kind of works. And when I'm watching, I'm kind of a Channel 13 guy, you know, like Jen Epstein and them. I'm watching it this morning, and there's a price gouging hotline, okay, of people gouging the prices because of Irma. And there was 1,500 reports in 2 days of people price gouging. You should be a damn ashamed of your damn self. Seriously. That's where we're coming to. And there's so many crazy stories that come out of Irma and what's happening. The great Grady Judd, who doesn't really mess around with a whole lot, you know, he said, if you're going to come up, you know, in my spots and hang out, and you want, say, you know, shelter and a safe environment, you can hang out in our shelter. But if you have a warrant for your arrest, or you're a sexual predator, we're going to wheel you right to jail. And then people were pissed at that. You shouldn't say that, because they're not going to be protected, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Listen, you think when those people in New Orleans, when you have a five-year-old kid, you want a sexual predator laying right up next against your five-year-old kid? Come on now. Okay? So let's not, you know, let's not protect everybody. Okay? You don't have to protect everybody. If you have a warrant out for your arrest, go give yourself in. We're not trying to protect you. And if you're a sexual predator, you're not supposed to be around kids at all. And then the ACLU compared Brady Judd to Joe Arpaio, who was that racially profiled guy that your boy Trump let off. Come on now. Come on. Those are two different things. Two completely different things. So people are wiling out. I've never seen Tampa Bay like this before. If you haven't left already, you ain't going nowhere, because I don't know if you can find a flight out of here. You're sure enough for not driving out of here. When you talk about gridlock, you know, watch television. And people that are just going through their normal routes, it's a tough time. I mean, they canceled school. I know a lot of different businesses have you know, closed down when they really should. And I hope it all turns out well. You know, hopefully the power doesn't go out Saturday and Sunday so I can watch my football. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about not being able to watch football. I don't think it's not hitting us, okay? We're going to get winds, we're going to get rain, and we get that all the damn time. We're going to survive, and we're going to be fine, all right? But, you know, you don't want to talk crap, because for what I'm hearing from the weather people, that whatever route we think that Irma's going to take, there's a give and take of 175 miles. Now, that's a long-ass way now. Mother Nature does crazy stuff, and if you can blow something one way or another 175 miles, you can find yourself right in the eye of something, and you don't want that. But I'm going to go with the Indians and them saying that we're in the right spot, okay, because they have a nice casino here, and it can't happen. Nothing can hit the casino, because the casino is flawless, and you can't beat that casino. So good luck with everybody, and be safe and be dry for sure. Now, I want to talk a little pop culture before I get into politics, because I want to lighten things up. I don't want to go straight from Irma to politics. That's too much. So we'll lighten things up talking about a little bit of pop culture. I told you, Dignitary is my brand, and we're about to come out with some Dignitary wear. And there was a beautiful big apparel show that was going on in Orlando, and I was going to go kind of hang out there and see all the new threads and however, you know, the new fashion, and unfortunately I won't be able to get there because of Irma. You know, TMZ is a show that I love to watch. And, you know, you don't have to like it if you don't want to. But I tell you what, they're pretty good with what they come out with. And they got people all over the place. Come and go outside your door right now. If you do something, TMZ is going to show up, that's for sure. I know there's one little story that made me laugh a little bit. Kendall Jenner, who whether you think is relevant or not, and she is, what I mean, very relevant, I mean she is very relevant in the world, period. Kendall Jenner is 21 years old, okay? And Kendall Jenner just, you know, there's New York Fashion Week going on right now, and Kendall Jenner just won the Fashion Icon of the Decade, and she's 21 years old. And I was like, come on. But, hey, go look at the numbers. Kendall Jenner been getting paid since she's like 12, okay? So to win an icon award when you're 21 years old, whew, I mean, I'd like to find out how much Kendall Jenner's worth. I mean, she's 21 years old, and her net worth keeps on going up because her earning potential keeps on going up. So good for Kendall Jenner, okay? A lot of people want to hate on the Kardashians and the Jenners. Hey, none of them have any talent, and they're damn rich. So that's the American way, I tell you what. What else is the American way is I'm seeing over there in California and in New York, McDonald's workers were walking off demanding $15 an hour. $15 an hour to work at McDonald's? I mean, there was a time where I had a good living, okay? I would still work for $15 an hour. It's still enough. I mean, you need $15 an hour to work at McDonald's? Now, you know, I don't live in California. California and New York are different now. Like, you're probably not going to get any type of apartment in California for less than $1,000 a month. I wouldn't believe. But $15 an hour is tough. That's tough. I guess $15 an hour in California would probably be about the same as $10 an hour here. So I'm not hating the people for, you know, not wanting their money. But you know what? Yeah, you can go back to school, you know. Well, you could always try to go get another job, but without dogging out McDonald's, you don't get much lower than that one. You don't get much lower than working at McDonald's because they make you wear that hat. That hat is absolutely terrible. You can't be a pimp in a McDonald's hat and a shirt. They make them terrible on purpose. I don't even know what color they are now, but I know one thing. It ain't a stylish thing, that's for sure. Now, I don't watch a lot of movies anymore. I tend to watch a lot of the older ones over and over. And I watched a movie the other day. It was on HBO. And, you know, I've always heard about Bernie Madoff and all those things that were going on with Madoff. And I was always curious about it. But I sat down and watched his movie. It's called Madoff. I don't know who wrote it. I don't give a crap. The acting was actually very, very good in it. There was a bunch of actors in it. I don't think I ever knew the extent of it. You know, I knew all of a sudden Bernie Madoff was a bad boy and he stole a lot of people's money, but I don't think I ever realized how much money. And after watching the movie, I was baffled. And Bernie Madoff's attitude, I kind of adopted it at the end. Like he literally looked and he was like, listen, everybody, this is the American way. This is the way the stock market works. This is the way your government works. This is the way everything works. And at the end, he was starting to kind of convince me. But if you haven't seen that, do yourself a favor and watch that Madoff movie. If you don't know the numbers, he scammed $50 billion from people. $50 billion. So he has his sons working for him. Everybody was involved. Nobody knew what was going on, allegedly. Although his son did hang himself later on when he realized that he should have known. There was a lot of signs. $50 billion, and what was amazing is towards the end of the movie, they were kind of freeze-framing different business owners and really showing how much money they lost. So could you imagine sitting there and watching TV, and this is how it happened to some of them. They're watching TV, and your financial advisor, the person running, holding your money, you're watching TV, and it says, Bernie Madoff arrested, fraud. And you must think to yourself for like 10 seconds, well, I wonder what that means. Then you call and you find out you have squadooch. You have zero money. So they had this one lady up on there and they put her name up. And I don't remember. I didn't write it down. But they put her name up and they go, lost $3 billion. Could you imagine the feeling in the pit of your stomach? I don't give a crap how much money you got. Okay, well, first of all, I think that was all her money, by the way. So if one day you wake up and you have $3 billion, then the next day you wake up and you have no money, I just don't know what that feeling would be like. Because whatever house you're living in, you're fitting to get out of it because you just lost $3 billion. I can't fathom it. If somebody stole $1 million from me, I'm going to chop his legs off. $3 billion, I promise he doesn't walk the earth. No way. I don't know how he survived. I don't know how somebody didn't kill him. Because he actually got out of jail. I think it was a $14 million bond and he got out right away. And I don't know how people allowed him. Well, he didn't really walk the streets. He was really hidden in his house. But with those numbers, I don't know if somebody didn't just snuff him off. I mean, seriously, done. But to lose $3 billion like that, I don't know where my mindset would be. So do yourself a favor. If you love movies, that's a movie you have to watch. Because I don't think I really knew all the numbers. When the numbers came out, it was absolutely crazy. Now, I'm a big Lil Wayne fan, and Lil Wayne was just here in Janice live. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, and I think he went to Chicago and had multiple seizures. I guess this has happened to him before. It's not the first time. We know he likes to walk around, you know, drinking that syrup, which is can be good for you. But he's not going to change. I guess he was in a hospital for a day. And just escaped out the hospital. He just lives hard. That's it. I'm surprised he's lasted this long. I'm supposedly he has epilepsy. I don't know. I don't know. But you know, when you're having multiple seizures like that, maybe it's time to maybe change your ways a little bit. I mean, you can't keep on acting a fool like that. So hopefully Lil Wayne lasts, because I really do like his music, and there's not too many people out there that I still do like their music. Like, I never knew I was quite the slave to social media and electronics because, you know, whether I know it or not, I mean, whether you know it or not, you know, right now I'm doing a podcast with a computer screen here and a big thing with a bunch of doohickeys. I don't know what the hell that is, but we need it. Speaking on a microphone, I got my phone right there. I do some DJ work. I got my Serato. So we're a slave to electronics. I don't know what I did with my phone. I looked at my phone all of a sudden, and I didn't have Twitter anymore, and I couldn't get it. I didn't have email anymore. I couldn't get emails. And all my calendar erased. So, you know, at first I'm like, I must have hit a button. Then by the second day, I mean, it was to the point where I was going to cry. Because, I have so many events coming up in the next 2 months. I didn't have them anymore, and I'm thinking to myself, that's going to be a pain in the ass to retrieve, or almost impossible to retrieve. And I didn't have Twitter, so every 2 seconds I'm looking to post something and I can't. So that I felt naked that way. So I think a long story short, this morning I went to T-Mobile. I said to the guy, I said, bro, I lost my emails. I lost my Twitter account. I lost this. I lost that. I have no calendar. He looks at me and goes, let me see your phone. He opens it up. They hit buttons that I've never seen before. He opens it up. And he goes, well, somebody hit the do not disturb button. I go, what the hell's that? He goes, it's this thing here. He hits it, boom, and everything comes back up. So I'm still alive. I'm going to make it. But I feel stupid to say it. Without Twitter, I was naked. I don't know what to do with myself. Without my emails, I didn't know what was going on, and it was not good. My world was not a good place. So in those old days of calling somebody and to find out some information, I don't want it to come back, but it's gone. It is absolutely positively gone, because whether we know it or not, we are all slaves. That is for sure. Oh, we talked earlier about the Buccaneers, who will not be playing this week because of Irma. And, you know, that's going to be the extent of my football talk this week. Once again, you can go to In the Trenches, which is my other podcast. You can check them out on Radio Influence or iTunes or all the above. Michael Bennett, who used to be a football player here, defensive end for the Buccaneers, I find he's a fantastic football player, a great leader, a good spark on your defense. politically, and I like his views. He was one person that did not stand for the anthem, and a lot of people abused him for it. Michael Bennett was in Vegas for the big fight, and I guess somebody heard shots. And Michael Bennett started running like everybody else. There was only one problem. The police didn't like a big black man running. So the police grabbed him, detained him, threw him on the ground, put him face down into the ground as he's not resisting. Told him they're going to blow his head off. And a policeman putting a gun to his head. Another policeman putting a knee in his back. You know, ironically, you know, the police, you know, their cams are not working. So we're not really getting a chance to see it. So, you know, the crazy part is they get Michael Bennett. They put him face down. He's not resisting. They're acting a fool, putting a gun to his head, telling him he's going to blow his effing head off. They put him into the car. They look at his ID. They realize it's Michael Bennett, football player. Then all of a sudden, they start tripping. Better let him go. So they let him go. I don't think it should matter if you're a football player or not, if somebody thought you shot somebody. And they let Michael Bennett go. So this is my problem. That happens thousands of times a day. We have to know that, okay? We have to know that. If it wasn't Michael Bennett, we would have never heard about it. So when something like this happens and it's so high profile, then you have to have the Vegas police talking about it. You have to have the NFL and Roger Goodell talking about it. Michael Bennett's talking about it. I see Michael Bennett's brother crying about it. But it's like we only think about it when it happens to somebody of high profile. Because if you listen to Michael Bennett and his voice, first of all, he ain't lying. There's no reason for him to lie. And when you hear his voice and his tone to where he's like, listen, I'm scared. I'm scared to go outside now, because you could not do anything wrong and get blown up by a cop. And this is, if you listen to my show, I'm not anti-cop at all. I think cops are wonderful, really, seriously, good cops. But I sure do see videos of bad cops, okay? And then you have people coming out, and then people are okaying it, and people are justifying it. You have to watch out when you justify everything. When you're always on one side, whether it doesn't matter which side it is, if you're always on one side, you're wrong. Because there's times when the athlete is wrong, and I'll say the athlete is wrong. And there's times where the cops are wrong. We have to kind of look at every single situation differently. But to me, for Michael Bennett to be running like everybody else and him to be face down on the ground, that's scary. That's scary because, you know, I could be in my car pulled over for whatever reason, and then I'm scared I'm going to get shot. And you know what's funny? I've seen video of it. There's video of African-Americans getting shot doing nothing, and that's scary. And you could say it's belly aching, but if you're African-American, I think you understand what we're talking about. So that's a scary situation. If you want to look it up, I hope more video comes out of what was happening there with Michael Bennett, because that, once again, is a very scary thing. Not quite as scary as politics, and I'm going to kind of ease into it that way. It's getting scary now for me, okay? Because politics and race relations are the same thing now. They're not even separated. Like, politics, to me, everything that comes out of the government now is race-related, okay? Or that seems to be all we're talking about. The other day when President Trump took away DACA, okay, it was the same day when he came up with this tax reform and he tried to kind of sneak it in the back door. Whether you think that's right or wrong, and I don't want to sit here and debate anybody, everything is going against brown people, okay? There's not been one act or one anything happen that has been for brown people. And I mean Mexican, African-American, anybody brown, okay? And this is going to affect 800,000 people who, under Obama, basically went, you know, knowingly and gave their information to okay themselves. So they gave all their information, you know, to get themselves legitimate. Now, Donald Trump's going to take the same information and kick them out of the country. 800,000. And once again, if you're a Trump fan, that's fine. But for somebody to say this, I have a love for these people, then right afterwards say, we have to do this properly. That gives me the willies. We have to do this properly means we're going to get Mexican people out of here by any means necessary. It could mean something different to you. They didn't do anything wrong. He already called them rapists and killers and all that kind of stuff, but these people didn't do anything wrong. They could even be model citizens. And dreamers is what they called them. They came willingly with Obama, and they felt good about themselves. And boy, I tell you what, I just don't know how anybody can be on that side now. I don't understand that. Because for me, it would make sense to say, from now on, this is what's going to happen. This is our law from now on. Don't go back to people that did it the right way, okay? It's 800,000 people, some of who are business owners, okay? Some of who are laborers. Some of them work very hard. Some of them doing the right way, paying their taxes. And you're just going to kick them out. I don't think I understand that part. And when you look at DACA and you look at, you know, Joe Arpaio and him being pardoned, and you look at Charlottesville and the way the president came through, the way he came around. I mean, what do you want people of color to think? I don't know what else you want. Well, you say us because I'm black. Us to think, because nothing that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth makes me feel good about African American or anybody who's of color in the United States of America. And it's getting to a point where it's pretty damn scary. I mean, it's really, really scary. And we're still talking about building a wall. You know, Donald Trump wants Mexicans to build a wall to keep them out. I don't know how that makes any sense. And like I said, everything that we seem to be doing now seems to be politically / race related. And when I'm watching, you know, the different shows on all these television shows where, you know, political talk, and they had an African-American guy talking to another guy who happened to be Republican, and the Republican stopped, goes, okay, now I'm racist. I'm a racist now. Listen, I've never heard anybody say I'm racist. I even hear white supremacists say that they're not racist. Nobody, that's a negative word. It doesn't mean I don't even like the word. It's overused a lot. If I say something that's off-colored, so many people, you're racist. Against who? Who am I racist against? Okay? The word is overused. So nobody's going to say, yeah, you got me. I'm racist. It's not going to happen. But you don't love brown people. So I don't know if that's racist anymore. I don't. But I never hear anybody, white, black, or indifferent, because you could be a racist and be black too, by the way. I never hear anybody say, I'm racist. But I have heard people say, I don't like black people. I've heard people say, I don't like white people. But they won't really say, I'm racist. And once again, I don't like to put the tag racist on anybody, but if it walks like a duck, you know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of waddling going on, you know, in Washington right now, a lot of it. And if this continues, like, make America great again, I'm not sure what that means. I'm scared though. I'm not sure what that means. But it's not heading in the right direction. I'm waiting for it to kind of swerve one way or another, but I don't see that happening anytime soon. And when I'm looking at Michael Bennett and the way his look, the way, I mean, this is a strong African American man that looks shook. There's too much of that going on, and not enough of us caring, unfortunately. So that's the way we are now, you know, as a society. I'm waiting for it to get better. Maybe when Irma goes by, everything will be all right. Only one problem. Juan is right behind. There's another storm right behind Irma, so I'm not sure the Bay Area can take all of that seriously. I'm actually going to be on the Bone Saturday from 1 to 3 with some Irma talk. The lovely JoJo is going to be helping me out. And, you know, normally we do our show with Ray Lampe, Tailgater University. But with all this stuff going on and the rain and all these, you know, different football games being canceled, doesn't really make sense to be talking about tailgating and cooking on a Saturday. It's going to be rainy and everybody's boarding up their windows. So I don't know if boarding up your windows is going to help. If you haven't done it, good luck with that. I'm not sure if sandbags are going to help. I guess they were filling 10,000 sandbags an hour or something crazy like that. They've run out of sand. They run out of bags. So I hope everybody does well. I'm not going to trip because tripping doesn't help, because I'm around people this week that have been tripping off of Irma, like seriously tripping, and to get me to where I'm squirrely, and I'm not really a squirrely type dude. So I'm wishing everybody to, you know, a safe Irma, and hopefully Juan doesn't come over right behind Irma and kick us in the backside, if you know what I'm saying. In the trenches, next week is going to be on Monday. I will not be talking about a Buccaneer game. I'll be talking about a Buccaneer bye week. Not exactly what we had in store, but that's the way it is. We can actually evaluate the rest of the NFL and see what they look like before we get our first dress rehearsal. Tonight, the Patriots are playing Kansas City, which is a wonderful first game. Kansas City, one of those teams that kind of just is just kind of good. And we'll see if they figure out a way to take that next step. But if I was you, I wouldn't be betting against the Patriots, because the Patriots are kind of like Alabama. For all you Florida State fans that thought that you were going to beat Alabama, because beating Alabama in the first week is just that's a tall task for sure. So everybody, do me a favor: be safe through this water. I hope you stay dry. Definitely want to tune in the trenches on Monday. And this is Flavor in the Year, and I'm hitting you guys up every Friday. And it's been good for me to get this off my chest. Been a lot of Irma stuff and a lot of Trump stuff that I've been waiting to talk about. And along the way, I know the week of September 18th, I'm going to be filling in for Mike Calta, 102.5 all week long. So that'll be a good chance for me to get things off my chest. But in the meantime, keep yourself safe and stay dry. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles. And check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's here. Bring that flavor in your ear. Flavor in your ear. Bringing that flavor in your ear. Flavor.
Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy, as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxidine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penzer. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation. All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.